Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. Get more at 97.1talk.com.
I was talking to you about hydroxychloroquine and a local doctor and his experiences with it. And then at the end of last week, this whole controversy in Washington blew up, where these doctors showed up in Washington and said, listen, here's our experience. We've had some success with this in saving people, and the big tech and mainstream media tried to erase them from the world. They tried to take it off YouTube. They didn't want them to be heard. I'm like, we have got to get Dr. Steve Crawford back on the show, and I've got him with us this morning, a physician and medical director from Festus Manor Nursing Home down in Festus, and also a practicing physician down there in Jefferson County. Steve, welcome back.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Great to have you on, and thanks for giving me some time again.
Certainly. Thank you.
But first of all, just let me ask your reaction to what you witnessed in D.C. this week when you saw fellow physicians up there just getting eviscerated for daring to speak out about hydroxychloroquine.
I think it's sad. I think that there's a lack of critical thinking by people in this country at this point. We're driven by fear, which is incredibly unfortunate.
Let's talk about what we do know about hydroxychloroquine. You made it very clear when I first had you on this show, what, 5 or 6 weeks ago, that this is not a cure, but it is.
It's not.
But it is a treatment that we need to be looking at.
Well, I still feel that way, and the more that I've seen the results, the more I believe that to be the case. I'm frustrated with the response that we're getting from everyone. I've never heard anyone say we can't use this new chemotherapeutic drug for your cancer because there's only a 50% chance we're going to cure you, because we may have 1-3% chance you're going to have a severe cardiac arrhythmia. And that's basically what this is now. It's a sad thing. I believe what the physicians are saying. That's been my own personal experience. Obviously not a drug trial, but it's hard to argue with success.
It is. And for people who didn't hear our initial discussion on this, maybe I can get you to repeat what your experience with this was in a setting of a nursing home where, of course, we know the most vulnerable people to this COVID live. What was your experience there at Festus Manor?
Initially, we had one case, and she declined very rapidly. She had been an O2 or an oxygen-dependent COPD patient, and we walked in, and her symptoms were consistent with everything we'd heard about the COVID-19. I transported her to the hospital immediately, and she survived, I don't think, even 36 hours. Our next case was totally atypical. Someone had a seizure who actually we had on quarantine from another facility, and she was dead within 6 hours. And we found out subsequently that she was also COVID positive. With that, we had what appeared to be, well, it was an outbreak of some of the most high-risk patients you can imagine. They're debilitated. That's why they're in a nursing home. And everyone died. either at the facility or at the hospital. Or I attempted to use hydroxychloroquine. I had started it because of my own personal experience before the president really ever mentioned it. I'd had prior experience with it in Africa for malaria and treating rheumatoid arthritis patients for close to 40 years. We never had the cardiac events they're talking about. Well, we knew it was a symptom and it was a problem, not to the extent that they're talking about today. Never stopped anybody from using it. Overseas, it's an over-the-counter drug for malaria prophylaxis in many places. When we started using it, we used a modified French protocol. People that finished the loading dose, which was 2 days of more medicine than normal, we did a loading dose with the azithromycin and the zinc. The people that survived the loading dose, all of them except one, survived. The one that didn't survive, the family would not let us do rehydration. With the COVID, one of the symptoms is a loss of taste, a loss of appetite. And with old people that don't want to eat or drink anyway, it became very difficult. We had to at times feed them or give them water spoonfuls at a time or use IV rehydration. The one person that expired, their family elected not to let us do the rehydration.
Wow.
I've seen patients since then in my practice, and we've had the same experience. I mean, it was a joyful day when patients told me, I won't take my medicine because it tastes terrible. What that meant was that they were starting to get better. And when we relayed that to them, I mean, they were happy.
So what you ended up doing here, as we discussed before, was treating people very early. You followed a different protocol than what the CDC said. And what you pointed out to me before was you can't wait till somebody's in respiratory distress. You have to start this when their blood oxygen level starts to drop.
Right. And you know, I agree with some of the early studies where they say it has no benefit when, you know, they're put in the ICU. It seems that there are two different phases in the disease process. There's the one where we're initially infected. And as the viral particles, as the virus replicates and it expands in a geometrical curve, I mean, it skyrockets. When you catch it early, it seems to work. The azithromycin and the hydroxychloroquine, there are a lot of different theories. I'm not sure that anybody knows for sure exactly why it works, but it does. And we found that the earlier you start it, the better your response. Now, some of my critics have said, well, how do you know they wouldn't have got better anyway? I don't. But I do know that if you start it earlier, we don't have the bad side effects. We don't have the people that are going to the hospital ending up on a ventilator. There appears to be the initial phase where you're infected, and then the body seems to have an inflammatory response. By that time, you need the ventilator, and the hydroxychloroquine used with our patients that were in that phase did not respond. The ones that responded were the ones that were treated early. Now we're using steroids, either orally or with the budesonide, or both inhaled like you do for asthma treatments, that has been successful for a lot of the people. It is used as an anti-inflammatory. And in combination, from my limited experience since our prior talk, it works very well. I've had patients who told me they looked very bad and sick and had been rejected for hospital admission. They told me their symptoms were gone the next day in follow-up.
Well, it's amazing. You know, I ran an interview with a gentleman out of Texas who was a physician down there who talked about the treatment using a nebulizer and a steroid. That's basically what this is, and you've successfully used it in combination with hydroxy and zithromycin?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I don't know why in the world. What, do you have any idea why the mainstream media in this country is carrying the water for many people in the medical research field who don't want the public to know this information? It's almost like they want to keep it quiet. And I loved your analogy about cancer. I mean, if you knew there was something out there, even if it only worked 50% of the time, would you not be willing to try that?
I don't understand. I mean, it makes me think that they have some other agenda besides saving our people and keeping the country safe and letting us go back to work. I don't know. There just seems to be some ulterior motive.
Yeah, I don't understand that one either. We're talking to Dr. Steve Crawford. He is the director of the Festus Manor Nursing Home, medical director, I should say, and a physician down in Jefferson County. You pointed out to me a study that came out of the Henry Ford Health System about hydroxychloroquine. What did they determine there?
Well, I believe it came out, I think it was the 2nd of July, and they analyzed, I think it was 2,544 patients that were hospitalized in six different hospitals between March 10th and May 2nd. And it was published in the International Journal of Infectious Diseases. Now, we should know that this is a peer-reviewed publication of the International Society of Infectious Diseases. They had a significant improvement. Their patients were started within 24 or 48 hours. Now, it depends on how you interpret the publication and the information. Some said that there was a decrease from a 26.4% mortality rate to 13.5% for those who didn't receive the treatment. There's another ongoing study, and there's a YouTube for your listeners if they want, from Professor Sir Nicholas White. And this is what they call a COPCOV study, I believe, COPCOV. And this was an ongoing study, and it's on the use of chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine for preventing of COVID-19. Now, he talks, I believe, about the inflammatory phase and the initial infection stage. And what he is saying for me sounds very reasonable, and from my limited experience, appears to be correct.
So, Dr. Crawford, when you first started trying to do this, I think this is important for people to know, you had a hard time finding a source for hydroxychloroquine. Is that still the case?
No, it is. Some of the major pharmacies absolutely refuse to fill the scripts. And what people should understand is no pharmacist is obligated to fill a prescription that a doctor writes.
So what's your advice then? This is what I've said to my wife. If I get sick, I want to find a doctor that was willing to consider this treatment. If your doctor won't, or your doctor can't find this, I mean, that sounds like a public health crisis to me.
Well, that seems that way to me too. And I think if you look at the Henry Ford study and what they say, that it should only be given in the hospital. Well, I think it should be given in the hospital, but I think it all should also be given before that. And what you have to understand, that's a large organization. And, you know, with their study and their results, they also have to consider the legal liability they have by advocating outpatient use. And I think that's a big part of the problem.
Let's talk for a moment about the responsibility the news media plays in all this, if you don't mind, just to get your opinion on it. Because you said to me the last time we talked that there were families there who you were treating their loved ones who did not want you to use this drug because they heard on CNN or one of the national media channels that Donald Trump recommended it and they weren't going to take it for that reason. True or false?
That's correct. One of them, they said they didn't want to try an unproven drug, and their loved one was old and would just prefer to let them pass. Another one, it was because they didn't want Donald Trump to get richer. I don't understand the logic. I mean, unfortunately, their loved ones were dead, I believe, within 72 hours.
So today in your private practice, I'm assuming, and on a continuing basis at Festus Manor, if you encounter COVID, this is one of the treatments that you are using, or is it the treatment that you're using?
Well, we're doing that in combination with the steroids. We're going to do that as long as we're legally able to. We're monitoring them for an inflammatory response, and we're doing a test called a D-dimer that's used for possible presence of blood clots.
Right.
And when that starts to go up, we are going to treat them with low molecular weight heparin or Lovenox injections to help prevent that. We had one patient, unfortunately, that had gone to the hospital and they'd failed to treat them the way we did, came back and said that the gentleman was healed. I saw him one night and his oxygen saturation was close to 100%. He was seen by nursing staff the next morning. That was also the case. He experienced respiratory difficulty a couple hours later, and he had a large pulmonary embolism and expired.
Sure. So again, as a physician, these are things you know to look for, but you continue to believe that this needs to be part of the treatment course. Dr. Crawford, I can't thank you enough for giving us some time on this. Such important information, and people just aren't hearing this elsewhere.
You're right. For some reason, they don't want to listen either.
It's amazing. Dr. Steve Crawford, thank you again, sir. We will talk soon.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You bet. Bye. Yeah, thank you. One more bit of food for thought here. Since I did that interview with Dr. Crawford 5 or 6 weeks ago, not a single member of the local news media has had the interest to go down and talk to him about what he experienced. Why? Ask yourself why that is. Why are they not interested in success stories with hydroxychloroquine? We'll talk to Brandon Wilkinson, candidate for the 3rd Congressional District, when we come back.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. Get more at 971talk.com.